At the end of each year, I want to always remind us of a situation that all of us have, which is called mortality. This time next year, we will never be together again, just like it is right now. It'll never be exactly the same. Each day of your life, we have come to understand, is different from all other days. We talk about, well, yeah, but I didn't deal with someone with this type of problem today. Yes, you did. You dealt with yourself. And so often that the problems of life, as we look at them, they continue to be there, just have a different name behind them. God looks at us, and in the looking at our heart and focusing on the needs that we have, He looks of our greatest need, and that greatest need is for us to realize how much we need Him. Do we become so independent in our thought that we say we can pull ourselves up by our bootstraps? Have we become so self-focused that the only thing that's going to change, we believe, should be everyone else, but I'm okay. When God looks at us, He looks at us as we will be. You and I need to understand that God looks into our heart. He sees us completed. We still see all the rough edges, the deep gullies, the great mountains. We look on the path of one day and there's Goliath standing to stop us. The next day, the giant mountain to stop us. The next day, we see an image of ourselves. Are we running so fast in this world that we truly have met ourselves going and coming? Do we see in looking through the eyes of God victory? Or do we see what we want to blind ourselves to, which is that victory to all, you just don't really matter? If you didn't matter, you wouldn't be here. And I'm talking about here on planet Earth. We matter to God. You're going to matter to the ones in your life, the ones in your life that you feel don't think that you matter to them. When you feel that, you need to understand you matter. Because God put us here to spread His word and to tell His story. Well, why don't we hear more of His story? Because sometimes we preachers get too busy telling the story about ourselves. Do you ever find your own individual life that way? Lord, I've come to You in prayer, and I want to lift my heart to You in prayer. And while I'm here, Lord, let me tell You about the faults of everyone else in my life. And if You will touch their hearts, then, Lord, we're going to be in good shape. You just have to fix them. The fix is in, folks, as Christians. The fix is Jesus Christ. And I'm not talking about the Son of God being just a fix. Go get Jesus. He needs healing. Go get Jesus. He needs raising from the dead. What the majority of churches in the United States of America need, a great resurrection. Because Christians are walking around half dead all the time. I never forget that in a funeral home. There, many, many years ago, there was a sign hanging up, said, "Don't walk around acting half dead. I'll bury you for $300. They can't do that now, can they? And God said, "I want you to look into your heart. Peter, you go tell your congregation what I say." So, folks, listen well to me today, please. We need to be listening to what God says and not all the advice we're given by those around us. Even though they love us, listen to the voice of God in your spirit. For when you witness God's voice within your own spirit, you will find that God leads you to individuals who have it far worse than you ever dreamed. And then when His touch on their heart is solid, then that group will go out and lead the others. I cannot lead with hatred and bitterness. You cannot lead in your life that way. The Lord says, I'm in control. So why do we continually try to take control out of the hands of God? Is it because we don't trust Him? Or is it because we'd rather hide from Him? What if I really let God do a great thing in my life and then I change? Oh my goodness, I got favorite sins out there that I just enjoy way too much than to give them up, Lord. At least let me keep a few of them. I'll quit killing people and doing all the other stuff. But, you know, let me have a few of those others. The pleasure of the world pulls us from the truth of God. And it's only for a minute. For a moment in time, do we feel comfortable with what the world is giving us or offers us? God says, I want you to prepare for my service for you. Now, God's service. Let's look at this one. God's service, He has called each individual Christian to, is different from the service He's called all the other individual Christians to. Same Christ, same Savior. But God didn't need to make the same person again, because He did it right the first time, and He gave each of us an individual walk. And each of us as individuals, we have those mountains in our life. The mountain in my life will not be the same mountain in your life. The Goliath in my life will not be the same Goliath in your life. So if that is scriptural as it is, what's going on with us? Why can't I get it straight? I look at other people and they're doing a lot worse than I am. That's the problem. We keep looking at other people. So therefore, we do not pick up our cross. Every one of us different thought process, right? Nobody in here is going to agree on much of anything, frankly. But nobody is going to see it exactly the way that you do, right? So then are we not individuals? God has set apart the Christian individual to go to other individuals. Now, the sins in our life that we witness, that's our individual battle. You can't help me with that. I can't help you. Therefore, I get on my knees and said, Lord, I lift to You all that You have made me to be. And through Your power, this day, this moment, I will overcome. And Lord, forgive me, because a moment after that, I am weak and I can falter. When you think you've got it, oh, I got this Christian walk, I got this down. Yep, it's in my doing. No, it's in what Jesus has already done. Our Christian walk is us dealing with the reality of the human being, but look at each other the same way. Instead of me judging someone saying, you're going to go to hell, I have no authority to say that. I will read the scripture and I will listen to what God's word says and read that, but, well, they said they're Christian. That's correct, and I'm not going to argue with them. Only God can do that. Only God can say whether an individual is going to enter heaven or going to be cast in hell. That's the power of God. It's not in the power of our hands. And thank God for that. So God says, I will look to their heart. But Christians quit doing it so far the other way also. Well, you know what the Bible says? Judge not, lest ye be judged. Yeah, I know exactly what it says there. The judging you have the right to make is whether something is right or something is wrong. I mean, you can't just say, well, no, I know that person, you know, he has a fault in his life. He can't just help it because he goes, gets drunk and kills people. You know, so let's just forget him. Leave him out there. You must judge between right and wrong. But you have no authority to judge when it comes to the eternal destination of that individual. That's up to God. So are we making a difference in their life? And how do we do it? For the year ahead, and focusing on set my soul afire, it is time, for the Scripture has said so. It is time. We are in the season, for the Scripture says so. The ushering in of the beginning of the end that I will share with you next Sunday is the time. And all throughout Scripture has led up to the time period when Jesus was to come. And all of Scripture that is leading up to that time said, He's coming, He's coming. And when He came, only a handful paid any attention. And now in the new church generation, the age of the church, what do we have? People in the world saying, where is this God that you say is going to come? This Savior, where is He? Why does He tarry? He tarries because He loves us. And He said, I would not that anyone would be lost. I want everyone to be saved. But He gives us a message of, we've got to prepare for service with Him. Now listen to Peter as he speaks to our heart, as he's focusing on what we must do to prepare to be in God's service. Peter called on Christians to prepare by living for the future. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled or disciplined. Set your hope fully. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. You and I now, today, we look for the second coming. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. In order for there to be a second, there had to be a first. Some 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem of Judea, that was the first. That ushered in the new age, the age of the church. The only ages we see after the church be the age of the rapture of the church and the destruction of all that is evil. Then God says it'll all be new. And God says, and I want you to understand, you're going to be with me. The new heavens and the new earth are going to be yours. No dying, no crying, no hurt, pain. There will finally be peace in the valley. There'll be no more shadow of death, for death is completely eradicated. Jesus did that already. He did it during His resurrection. God resurrected His Son so that you or I will never have to die. So what's He talking about? If we're not going to have to die, the Lord is speaking to us to let us know that because my Son conquered death for you, when this body closes its eyes, I'm already out of it. So are you. For we are commanded to give this body, this vehicle, back to the ashes, the dust, of the earth. For all of earth, it was created by God, and back to earth it shall be. But you and I aren't going anywhere. We got a new one on the way. My heart is really burdened. And I look at the world and look at the heart of so many and are paying attention to the heart of the Christians in our nation and watching multitudes upon multitudes of Christians in other nations being slaughtered for Christ. They sneak around hiding just to have worship, knowing that they're probably going to die, realizing they're coming after them at any second and slaughter their whole family, yet they will gather together to worship and give thanks to God in heaven for sending His Son, for making a way through salvation of the blood of His Son. They give thanks. They defy death. We have no such threat in America. And church doors are shutting, one right after the other. Well, it'll never happen to us. It already has. When God looks at the church, He says, I will begin my judgment there. My judgment will begin in my churches. Does that not tell us something? Is this world and what it offers us, is it so powerful that we turn our back on a living God who sent His Son so we could have the peace that surpasses all understanding? Do we sell our Savior out, not even for 30 pieces of silver? $5 will do it. For I will not go to church unless God blesses me more. How can you get a blessing? Any of us receive a blessing when we don't give one? What have we become? We fuss at our children and say, you know, you're so spoiled, you have so much. Who did the spoiling and who did the giving? It is good to give. But my friends, it's just not in the financial part of giving. It's better to give from your heart than to give a dime to a church. This pastor, frankly, doesn't care whether you give a dime to it or not. But what I do care is your heart, your service. Half the time we can't even get workers for the nursery. If I wanted to take care of kids when I'd have stayed home with my own. Every child is a child of God. I wished I could adopt every one of them and hold them and teach them about the love of Christ, the hope that is there. And yet I watch time after time after time as the adults in their life destroy their childhood and destroy any hope of them having a type of relationship with Jesus because, well, I just let them make their own decisions. That's what they want to do. It's why they're called children. It's why we're called parents. Do we not direct them? Can you not tell my heart is so heavy I can barely speak? As I watch during this time of the year and as I continually say to people, this period of time for me is a horrible time. For I witness the hurt and the pain the children endure because of the actions of the adults in their life. And God will call us and He will touch our hearts and say, I told you to do it this way. Why did you do it that way? Why did you turn your back on my truth just to make someone feel good? The year ahead, as I've shared time and time again, is going to be a hard year for me and probably for you all to listen to me. I do not know any more than you do what's going to happen by the end of this coming year. I do not know what God has planned for me. But 2016, for me, is a year of awakening. Back to the foot of the cross, the revival spirit. It's a spirit that when a pastor knows that it is there and his call is to proceed, it's a spirit of pure hell. For all that is evil will come against. Because when God touches a heart of salvation, when God brings to the mind of those that receive the word, that we can make a difference. How sad it's going to be when you and I hear the voice of God, knowing we can make a difference, and then us look up and it's too late for us in our life to do anything about it. The hurt and pain will go to the heart and can break an individual. You'll hear a lot about Jeremiah in the upcoming year. After preaching 26 years without one convert, he had cried to the depth of his being and saying, I don't want to preach anymore. I'm tired, God. They're not paying any attention anyway. And then his cry was, God, you are unfair to me. For when I said I would no longer preach and proclaim your truth, your word burned in my heart and my soul to such a depth that I was awestruck, unable to withstand, and indeed I could not withhold. I had to preach your word. Lord, your word is like a burning within me. Why? It's because until we receive the Holy Spirit of God, the power of the love of God within our heart, then we cannot be saved. It is through the Holy Power Spirit of the Holy Spirit in which there is salvation. It's not in the words of a speaker or a preacher. It's in the power of the Holy Spirit in the heart of the one God is touching. I can't call you to prayer. The Holy Spirit can. I can convince you to come to a prayer time as long as it's convenient, but I can't convince you to give your heart in prayer. Could that be what God's speaking of? When he lets us know that my spirit will not strive with man forever. I never dreamed in our generation now. I never dreamed of seeing this time. I could not imagine the endorsement that we have on same-sex marriage. Slaughtering innocent babies. 3,000 a day slaughtered in the United States of America, and that's just the ones they know of. And we think God's going to be happy about that? Will God be happy with me if I just want to keep it calm and not really hurt somebody's feelings? So back off, Larry. I'm not worried about feelings. I'm worried about your everlasting soul. Why would I lie to you just to make you feel good here and know you'd be found guilty of murder one day by God himself? The peace that it is to come, it'll come through brokenness. It'll come to me through my brokenness. Have you ever really been broken, folks? Have you ever really gotten to a point, just like a warrior on the battlefield? Just like one guy I had at prison years ago when the parole board said, well, is he a Christian, Chaplain Vance? I said, well, he never accepted Christ in my presence. He says that he's not. Well, what do you think about him? I said, he's just tired of doing time. Think it'd be a great parole risk, but he has not been converted to my knowledge, and he says he hasn't. He's just tired of doing time. Sometimes Christians get in a life mode of just being tired of doing time. Your time will come, and so will mine, but it'll come in God's saying, not yours and not mine. But folks, it's going to be heavy, and I know it. For Satan will do all he can to stop, to destroy, to cease his word from being proclaimed. Satan is afraid of Jesus. You've been whipped as many times as Satan had by the Lord, you'd be afraid. And now he's messing with God's children. And it's just about broken your pastor, as I said. Parents said love, and yet children no longer get to be children. And they're told, you need to just accept the way things are. No, I don't. And you don't either. I will love anyone and everyone. But I will not accept something that goes against God's holy word. I cannot accept it. So therefore, I must proclaim from my heart. Pay attention to the word of God. Not your own mind. But to the truth of God. I'm just going to read because I can't preach, folks. Notice that Peter told them to prepare in three ways. Number one, prepare their mind. In Colossians 3:2, Paul says, set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. What's our mindset? We talk about mindset. Hear about mindset all the time. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Well, I just don't think about things above because I know it's good. So I'm just going to think about my time here on earth. God says that at birth I am to weep, at death I am to laugh and be joyful. It takes a lifetime of living to finally understand what that means. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. So if we're afraid, where'd it come from? He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Our sound mind can only be solid on the foundation of the rock of Jesus Christ and not on our own intellect, but on the voice of God, the power of God. Next, he said, prepare your conduct. Lord, a lot easier for everybody else to straighten up than it is me. Tell you what, Lord, you get my husband or my wife straight and then I will do. I thought we had the freedom of choice. I haven't seen anyone make anybody else get drunk. I've never seen that. I was with the wrong crowd and they got me drunk. Why do you keep going back to the same crowd? Maybe you're the leader of it. 1 Peter 5:8. Be self-controlled, that's disciplined, and alert, for your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Satan says, I'm looking to stop you. Satan has no authority over your new nature, my new nature, so therefore he will stop me by attacking my old nature, tricking us in any way that he can. And in many cases, he'll use Scripture to do it. Do we not remember that Jesus, when he went through his temptations on the mount that Satan was bringing against him, everything was around the physical. He quoted Scripture to Jesus. I couldn't believe he'd be that dumb, but he did. He quoted Scripture to Jesus. And Jesus gave him a word from God right back. And number three, prepare your spirit. 1 Peter 1:3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. I don't serve a dead Savior. I don't have to go to the tomb. I don't need to go to Israel. I don't need that trip. I've never taken the trip. It's not that land that's holy. The land is called holy because of the one who was holy who was there. I cannot get any closer to Jesus Christ by going to the tomb where he was born than I can right here. I can't. It's not about a piece of property. It's about a personality. It's about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ reaching down to the depths of where we are, seeing the despair, calling us to action. I wonder how any general would feel in combat when that general would say, I'm in front. I want the rest of you all to stand, hold the line, and I'll go fight your battle. That happens to be the one that's in charge of the church. That's Christ. He never calls us to go and to fight unless he goes first and wins. And every time America loses, it's because we leave Jesus out. Oh, now, preacher, that's just what you Christians say. Actually, that's what God says. And yes, I am a Christian. And yes, I know something. I know that God loves me despite how I am. I also know the time is here. I know that. For a lot of changes, and it must come into the heart of the church, or these doors will be closing. It's not about money. It's about dedication. It's about, if you're going to call yourself a Christian, then be a Christian. It's just not a title or a tag. It's action. It is caring more about the other person than caring about yourself. It is crying every time you see a child cry. It is you breaking every time you see a child harmed in any way. It is when the hurt is there and God is watching, and he's watching me and he's watching you. Oh, Larry, let's see. I was there. I remember seeing her do that to that child, and I remember you standing at a distance when I tapped you on your heart and told you to stop it. Go stop it. And you didn't want to get involved because you just didn't want to rock the boat. Well, folks, I'll sink that boat now. My time has come. The fulfillment of God's calling is in his word and in his truth. And he says, stand and be numbered as my child, not your own. I don't have any time left. The time that God has called me for, you know, I look now and I think, Lord, out of all these years of preaching, why does this particular 2016 year frighten me so much? Folks, when the Holy Spirit of God is poured out, you're going to get excited and you're going to get afraid. You get excited because you feel again what you felt when you said yes to Jesus. You get afraid because, oh, Lord, you're going to tell me to do something, aren't you? You are going to tell me to do something, aren't you? And, Lord, you know I don't want to do it. And yet, your word is going to burn in my heart so powerful that I cannot hold it in. Might even have to admit I'm wrong in something. Folks, I love you with all my heart. I know that you all know that. And I promise you this, I will give all I've got in this coming year. I'll give all I have, time and any other way, to glorify God. Because it's about time the church stands up. We've been silent long enough. Let's pray. Father, I ask, Lord, for your peace. And I pray, Heavenly Father, as you use me to proclaim your word in this new year coming, Father, I ask for your holy boldness so that I can stand. I pray, Heavenly Father, you'll give me the instant recall that I need of your word. And I ask, Father, that it truly will be your word that is proclaimed and nothing else. I ask, Father, that you forgive me for the foolishness of life. And Father, give me the strength, the courage, and that boldness to stand strong now in your calling, that we must be revived again. Set our soul afire, Lord, for the love that only you can give and the truth that can only help us. Ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.